Welcome to Mind Styling, the podcast that explores how we can win at the game inside our heads and make a mark on this world in our own unique style, on our own terms.
We interview entrepreneurs and leaders who aren't afraid to push the boundaries and set their own definitions of success. We will share with you the tips and techniques they use to style their mind and give you the tools you need to start mind styling for yourself.
Hello, lovely mind stylers. I'm Amy Armstrong.
And I'm Dr. Becky Sage.
And today we're talking about Heather Lyon's top tip: hire really, really good people. And oh my goodness, yes, your team, get it right. What do you think about this, Becky?
Yes, I think your team is so important. People are so important. And getting the right people really does matter for both parties. I think it's really tough because I think everyone as a founder, when they're bringing people on board and, you know, they want to give people opportunities and they want those opportunities to play out. You've got to be really careful, though, that you're not kind of crippling the business because you're really trying to support people through their own personal development journey. I mean, you do the personal development, of course, but I think especially in startup phase, it's so important that you do have the right people on board. So I wanted to reflect on what really, really good people means. Mm. It obviously means something different for every single business, but I think it's about getting the fit right in all aspects of what a person can bring to the business. So of course, the values fit has to be good, and yes, they have to have a connection to the mission of the business and be able to see where you want to go or buy into it. You know, not everyone in every single role is going to want the exact same thing as the founder, but they have to be able to buy into that mission. Yes. And to be able to share values with you. And then, of course, skills and knowledge and networks and experiences are also incredibly important. And I think that we often, as startup founders, are a little bit scared of being asking for too much when it comes to people, because we're very, very aware that maybe we're not offering as much as the bigger companies, as the corporates. Maybe we can't offer as much stability or as many benefits. And so that also comes down to this cultural fit and people really understanding what it is to work in a startup and to be in an environment and in an entrepreneurial environment. It's not easy. I mean, I've done it from, you know, three or four times with not being the CEO. I've also been the CEO, and it's all those times that there's some real challenges. And I think you need some humility amongst the team to be able to grow and learn together and to understand that people aren't going to be getting it right straight away. And some things are going to be confusing sometimes, and they've got to be able to try and come along on that journey whilst working stuff out as you go through it. So it is in some ways relatively unique people and unique skill sets that you're looking for. And I think that can be really scary because you are just like, maybe that person doesn't exist. Maybe they don't want to work for us. Maybe, you know, but we have to switch it around and go, if you get the wrong people, that can be really destructive to the business, especially when it's small.
Yes, because if you are a team of two and you bring one person in, suddenly that can upset the complete balance. Mm. Then when you expand to four, you know, that's a quarter of your team. And actually, regularly, startups expand really rapidly. So it might be, you know, four people coming on one week and then eight the next. And that is going to take time and energy as a manager. You, as a startup founder, might not have experience in managing people. You might have the reason you're bringing them on board is because you've got this vast amount of stuff and a ton of deadlines to meet. And actually, you think you haven't factored in enough time to nurture them, to build the foundations of your business. And that's a lot of what Heather was talking about, is that building the foundations, really invest in those early times, invest in connecting with individuals. If you're a virtual team, it's even more important. Mm-hmm. We're social beings, humans, and we need those connections. It's not an easy one, and get support. If you haven't ever managed before, go and get training in it. 60% of our leaders in the UK haven't been trained how to be a manager, and that's an issue. Mm. If you're being managed by one of those, you know that is an issue.
Yeah, you do. And I think that I'm just reflecting on it, because we're doing some virtual onboarding at the moment, and for me it's that kind of little and often approach is quite good for startup founders. I think, to your point of building connection, building the understanding between you and the person that's coming on board, and being able to touch base frequently, I think is really important. So you can kind of do gentle nudges and you can get a real sense of who those people are. And one thing that I know this is said a lot, and I'm sure we've said it on the podcast, but the whole, you know, hire slow, fire fast aspect with people, you know, so you know when things are not working out. And I think whilst you give people the benefit of the doubt, and things do change, and people obviously are in specific circumstances that might mean that they're struggling for a little while, but actually generally, you know, if it's just a really poor fit, and to the point of hiring slow, I think that's also to do with you making sure you're in the right place to hire and bring people on board. And another founder I've been working with recently has been talking to, this is kind of pre-seed phase. They're really early on. They've been doing a lot of sweat equity, you know, well, they've essentially, yeah, just been really building their own idea, but they have been working with other people and spending time with them. And I think often you can feel like, oh, I really need to now bring those people on board as shareholders or directors or co-founders. But actually, I think that's the other really important thing. If you're the engine, and if you're continuing to be the engine, you've got to be really careful about, why are you going to bring those people on board as a co-founder or as a director? That's very different from having an advisor, for example. And often founders maybe feel like they owe people because they've put some time in. But I think you can be respectful and pay that back in a way that isn't just about going, here you go, have part of the company now. And a lot of that is about setting expectations and not jumping into things too quickly, and being really considered about it as you go along. Because again, getting the wrong fit it isn't helpful, and if you're having doubts, listen to them.
Well, yes, so there are two really important things. One is go and contract out key tasks. Don't necessarily create a salaried role in the team for them. Contract them out, see if you can free up your time by contracting that out in really discrete packages of work. So there are clear beginning, middles and ends, clear performance indicators, and then you can reflect. And if actually you find yourself consistently extending those contracts, perhaps that's because the person's the right fit. Perhaps that's because it's a really important skill set to have in the business. And then that gives you an answer. But actually, you've done your active research, haven't you? Action learning.
Absolutely. I mean, people, you get to know people by working with them, don't you? So yes, we certainly did it. Because I mean, if you're funded in a certain way, you also sometimes have to bring people onto payroll, or, you know, it's favorable to. And I know we did short-term contracts initially for certain team members, and then ultimately rolled them out further. So there's ways of doing these things, even if you feel like, oh, I can't do it that way because it's something that's stipulated in funding or in, I don't know what the other reasons might be, but there are ways of doing it that work. And again, you might be thinking, oh, but that person won't want to come on board with us if it's just a temporary thing or if it's a contracted thing. And I think, again, it's just about really being realistic about what is the right fit for you. And that doesn't mean don't compromise for the right people, but it does mean being very aware of what's a good fit for you.
And communicating. Don't assume, don't think you know what they want. Actually, they might be absolutely up for it, and they might be prepared to swap short-term contract terms or instability and lack of certainty for the joy and privilege of working on a project or an idea that they really believe in. After all, as a startup founder, you're probably sacrificing a great deal. You're probably swapping security for dreams. And why don't assume that other people aren't prepared to do that and aren't prepared to really lean in and support you and join you on the way? Just to communicate. Be
absolutely
honest.
Absolutely. That mission alignment is so powerful. If you're passionate about something, there are other people out there that are passionate about it as well. I think I pretty much say that with certainty, that whatever it is, that you can find other people. And that's a big driving force in terms of what people are looking for in their career. Especially, I mean, if you look at all the Gen Z data now, in terms of what young people are looking for in their careers, purpose and social impact are huge drivers in terms of the career goals and or the career direction that Gen Z are looking to take. And so it's definitely something that you can use to bring people on board.
And just finally, I'd really caution people to be recruiting in a short-term way. I think when you're going to actually commit and invest in a permanent role, salaried role in your business, I'd be advising you to really think about where you vision this company to be in a year's time, in 2 years time, in 5 years time, to really look at those roles, to look at where you would like to be sat and your responsibilities in an ideal world, and then working back from there so that you can see that progression, and you're not just recruiting into the current furore, you know, whatever it is, maelstrom of life.
Exactly.
Thinking strategically, thinking big.
And giving yourself permission to do the job you want to do. This is your company if you're a founder, you know? So, and I've had this conversation with so many early stage founders where they're kind of like, well, I feel like I have to do this role because, you know, who else is going to do it? Or this is just what I have to do. But no, look forward and then work back from there and say, but what is it you really want to be doing? And because you know what, if you're in your zone of genius, then that's when the company's going to sing. So don't spread yourself over all sorts of things that aren't going to energize you and aren't going to, you know, you're not going to be the best person for that job. So yeah,
absolutely. And finally, it's synergy. You're more than the sum of the parts. The company, when you get this right, when you hire the best people, when you get everyone in the right seats, all punching beyond their weight, then that's when the company will soar. Go and have fun. But yes, start with that principle of there is the right person out there. How do we find them? And don't sell yourself short. Just seek the best people possible.
Thank you. So do listen back to some of our other podcasts if you're unsure how to find the right people, because almost everyone we've spoken to has got a good story about how they've found co-founders or team members. And yeah, go on back, have a listen and dig into the archive, because there's all sorts of rich information in there if you'd like to find out more about having the right team on board. And if you want to talk to us about it, then come on over to our social channels. We're at Mindstyling Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, and at Mindstyling Pod on Twitter.
So we can't always control the situations that are going on outside of us, but we can be in control of how we react to those situations.
And that is what Mindstyling is all about.